lean on me.
Just look at me.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't really like the way I phrase it here, but I'm going to phrase it here the way I wrote it down.
Okay.
If you don't like the way you look, what do you do?
Change your appearance or your clothes or...
Okay. Change your appearance, change your clothes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Get plastic surgery, I guess. That would be an extreme case.
Okay. Okay. All right. Get plastic surgery. Okay. So... tell me about this plastic surgery. What are you talking about? What does that mean? You put plastic all over your body or what? What are you talking about?
You change your look through surgery. Face, other parts.
Face, other parts.
Yeah.
Through some kind of surgery.
Yep.
And who performs these surgeries?
Doctors.
Plastic surgeons.
Plastic surgeons, yep.
So why are they called plastic surgeons? Are they made out of plastic?
I have no idea, actually.
Oh!
I have no clue.
Oh.
Does it have something to do with plasticity?
Oh. Did you know that the reason that these doctors are called plastic surgeons is that the plastic comes from a Greek word, plastikos.
Did not know that.
Plastikos. P-L-A-S-T-I-K-O-S.
Okay.
Plastikos. Do you know what plastikos means?
Movable or changeable? I don't know.
To mold.
To mold. Okay.
To mold.
All right. I buy that.
All right. So far, you're following me. Now, I am a mental plastic surgeon. Yes. But
now I know the part. I like that. I wish I could see your face. Yeah, I like that.
I can do this because the brain is moldable. And this is the science of a word you mentioned a little while ago. What's it called?
Plasticity.
Neuroplasticity.
Yep.
Neuroplasticity is a scientific term. Now, do you know what that means? What is neuroplasticity?
I don't know the definition.
Okay, well, let's pretend you do.
Yeah, changing the mental maps.
Okay, changing the mental maps. Good.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you look up neuroplasticity in your friendly Google lookup thing on your friendly iPhone, okay, or any other phone.
Or dictionary. I could have a dictionary.
You could have a dictionary. I'm not even sure. What's a dictionary, Daddy? Okay. this is what it will say. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The ability of the brain to form and reorganize synaptic connections, maps.
Yep.
Especially in response to learning or experience or following injury. So one thing I could do as a mental plastic surgeon is hit people over the head with a brick.
Good.
And thus cause an injury. And then the neuroplasticity would just start to work. New synaptic connections would form. However,
after careful consideration, you've decided maybe
I feel as though there may be a more effective / lucrative means, and I'm choosing the first one.
/ less litigious.
That's what I mean by lucrative. I'm choosing the first one. Learning. In response to learning. So, let me ask you another question.
Okay.
What do you do if you don't like the way your life looks?
Go to a neuro... Wait, what are you calling yourself again? I already forgot. Brain...
Mental plastic surgeon.
Mental plastic surgeon. That's my answer.
Yeah, you go to a mental plastic surgeon. I mean, that's one option. Now, what do we know about plastic surgery? I mean, when you think of it, who usually gets this plastic surgery? You know, people in this coffee shop?
Generally, well, I think of two things. Vain people, which vain is maybe people. Unfair. Not always, no. Is it fair?
Vain.
Also, people with money.
Money. Yeah. Money. Because plastic surgery is...
Yeah, expensive.
Expensive. So... consider that we have what we have because of what we think and what we do. So our life looks the way it looks because of what we think and what we do.
Yep.
Pretty simple.
I would tend to agree with that.
Okay. Now this is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
This is where it really gets interesting. Now, I've shown you my three pictures, right? The caterpillar, the butterfly, and the stage in between.
Yep.
And this podcast is even called The Coaching Chrysalis because of this principle. So this is very fundamental to my mental plastic surgery. So the caterpillar will... grow and change as a caterpillar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Caterpillars grow and change and still are caterpillars.
Correct.
Okay. But it won't. Can't become a butterfly unless it goes into and actually creates its own chrysalis. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
It'll grow and change.
In agreement. Yep.
But it cannot become a butterfly and then have the freedom to fly wherever it wants until it, of its own accord, builds its own chrysalis. So, just like the caterpillar, a human being grows and changes. But it doesn't have a natural chrysalis experience. It is natural for a caterpillar to mold its own chrysalis. It is not natural for human beings to do it. It is almost unnatural.
I wouldn't even say almost.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. The transformation occurs in the chrysalis, but if the human being never goes into the chrysalis, it never transforms. Could grow and change, but never transform. Now, what might cause a human being to have a chrysalis experience, or what is the way a human being usually, if it does, ever, what's the usual impetus for it to say, God, I gotta do something?
What is pain.
Pain. And not just a little pain. I call it massive pain.
Massive.
In fact, it's almost forced into it.
Hit rock bottom.
Yeah, hit rock bottom. All right, here's the mission statement part of it. Sharing this with the client, she said, that's your mission statement. I said, ooh, I like that. Wrote it down, mission statement.
Huh, okay.
Here it is. You ready?
Yep.
And you're going to appreciate this because you inspired me to come up with this.
Wow. So I already gave it a passing grade then.
Okay. I am transforming this transformation process for human beings.
I like that.
So that people can learn this and see this and choose this. In a way that is easy, fast, and fun.
Bring it back to the coach.
All right, there you have it. Oh, I came up with something really good.
I just saw the first line. I'm interested to hear about this.
Yeah, I came up with the first... I came up with a really great, concept. It's called Sleeping with the Enemy. So have you ever heard of the movie Sleeping with the Enemy?
Yes.
And, well, tell me about it.
I don't remember.
Oh, come on. Who was the star?
I don't even remember
that. Oh, come on. She also starred in Pretty Woman.
Oh, Julia Wright?
Not Julia Wright.
No, I mean Julia... I didn't mean Wright, I mean correct. I'm on the right track.
Not Julia correct. Yes, you're on the right track in the, track in the sense you got her first name.
Yes. I don't know why I can't do that.
Julia Roberts.
Roberts, yes.
She came out of the movie.
I learned from you, I think, right? That's the sister of Eric Roberts?
Yes, it is.
I never knew that. Or maybe my wife told me that.
Yeah. She came out of the movie quite a while ago called Sleeping with the Enemy. Do you remember what that was about?
I'm not sure I've ever seen it.
Okay.
I just remember the title.
So, as we know the Scarfian model of social, cognitive, and affective neuroscience. And the R stands for relatedness. So the brain is always scanning as to whether someone is a friend or a foe, a good guy or a bad guy. You know, in the movies, the good guys and the bad guys.
Yeah,
you know, it's always very clear. You got to know who the good guys and the bad guys are. You make a movie where it's hard to tell whether who the good guys and the bad guys are. People come out there going, I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah.
I was confused. Whatever. Anyway. So... the reason this is a very interesting title is because it brings up something. Like, why would you be sleeping with an enemy? Because the human brain tends to avoid enemies.
Yeah.
So why would you be sleeping with one? Well, she got married. She didn't know what this guy was really like. He ended up being an abuser, et cetera, et cetera. And so she was, in a sense, sleeping with the enemy.
Okay.
But I have come up with a new twist on this concept.
Okay.
That oftentimes in life and in business, we avoid people we don't like.
Correct.
In life and in
business. Yep.
So if we, as a business, avoid people we don't like, I mean, do you ever run into people you don't like?
Yes.
Yes. Now, do those
in my business as well.
Yeah. Now, do those people have money?
Yeah.
Yeah. They could, you know, give us something to you if you provide them a service they like.
Yeah.
But no, you're not really all that interested because you don't like them.
Yep.
So I have this new concept called the collaborative advantage, not competitive. Collaborative. And the collaborative advantage says... not only is there no such thing as a competitor, for example, you're in the bowling business. Do you have competitors?
Yes.
No.
I knew you were going to do that too.
No, you don't. Yeah. You have collaborators. You have people that are also in the same industry, have the same interest as you.
Yeah.
Oh no, they're trying to take my clients, my customers. Oh, they're mine. No, they're bad. They're enemies. They're assholes. this is going on all over the world. People call other people assholes who they don't even know just because they're in the same business they are and they're living in this world that there's some kind of enemy out there trying to take something from them. So,
evolutionary biology.
Correct. So, I'm calling this, we need to learn how to sleep with the enemy. We need to not only collaborate with people that are in our same industry, but we also need to start doing business with people we don't like. Why not?
Interesting.
Let's grow our business. You don't like somebody? Who cares? If they need a service and you provide it, provide it. All right, there you have it.
I got you.
What would you like to talk about today, Jason?
Oh, I don't know. Apparently I need to talk to more cops.
What's going on of interest? Hey, let me ask you a personal question.
Okay.
I was thinking about this the other day. How are your numbers at 48 Bowl?
What do you mean?
Well, you have a business, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Are you doing well? Are you increasing your business?
Yeah. This is the second summer in a row we haven't had to borrow money, which is borrowing money for a bowling center during the summer months is very common practice. Second summer in a row and the second total with these particular owners.
How long have you been the general manager there?
A little over a year.
So is this your second summer?
I started towards the middle end of last summer.
Okay, middle end of last summer. Okay. But, so this is the second summer like in a row or the second summer overall?
Yes, on both.
Both? So one of them kind of before your era started, but you've been able to maintain it.
Yep, correct.
Great. What else?
I'm not entirely sure I had anything to do with that, but...
Well, who cares? So do you keep track on, monthly numbers or quarterly numbers or profit?
The owners do. I don't look at those on a monthly basis yet.
But
they relay the info to me.
Oh, they do relay it to you.
On occasion.
Who's the person most accountable for their numbers? Is it them or is it you?
I'm trying to think of how to nicely say this. I don't know that they ever even, strategically look at that. You know what I mean? Like,
they have a business and they don't look at the numbers?
I think they look at it, but I don't know how much they do about it, I guess.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, they're not sitting down and going, okay, these were numbers. Where did we fall short this month? Let's figure out it. No. They look and they go, oh, things are going great. Awesome. Keep going.
Well, as long as things are going great, awesome, keep going.
Yeah, I'm a little more strategic than that.
Well, I kind of hope so, given what I have understood your long-term plans. So things are going well. So under your tutelage, under your leadership, the owners are happy. Are the owners happy with you?
Yeah. Yep.
And are you happy working there?
Definitely. Okay. And I'd like to make more money.
Okay. I'd like to make more money. Okay. And make more money? Do you know how you could? I mean, do you know what the source of that? Like in my magazine business, I know how we make more money. I mean, it's not a big mystery. We sell more ads and keep our expenses.
Yeah, indirectly. I mean, indirectly, it's increasing our business.
Right.
But that's
indirectly.
But that's assuming that that extra is going to be passed along.
Right.
Or at least a portion of.
Well, I mean, at some point, do you have any kind of a performance bonus structure?
I mean, I get a bonus generally around the holidays based on that, but there's no structure, there's no formula, you know, nothing written or.
Okay. Well, I come back to I'd like to make more money. I assume you mean I'd like to make more money.
I'd like to get a higher salary.
I'd like to get a higher salary. Okay. I'd like to get a higher salary. I'd like to.
Salary, not celery.
No, I understand. A high salary is just a vegetable on the top cupboard.
I do like celery, so I'm not opposed to reaching.
I like celery.
Reaching for.
Jason just left to get more coffee. That's why there's a momentary lull in the action. Don't go away. Don't turn this off. Jason's coming back.
You're narrating my coffee.
There he is.
Should have paused.
Okay, I'd like to get a higher salary, right?
Yeah. Okay. Hope none of those guys are listening to this. No, I've told them that.
What do you think the odds that they're listening to this are?
Zero.
Okay.
Zero.
I'd like to.
Well, there's probably never a. I'd say 0.0000001.
Well, I mean, on the one hand, I'm kind of wondering why you wouldn't want them to listen to this.
Oh. Well.
I mean, who would be the person in the world most likely to give you a higher salary? Who would be the person most likely?
The owners?
The owners.
Yeah.
Do they know you want a higher salary?
Yes, this has actually been topic of conversation this week.
Okay.
And I actually got it. But not enough.
Oh, okay. Oh, you got a raise.
Correct.
Oh, great. That's great. But not enough.
Well, I'll just say my raise wasn't equal to the value I've been giving, in my opinion.
Right. Well, I mean, was your raise tied to some kind of incentive or performance structure?
Again,
have you ever discussed? Yeah. Have you ever? Again, but you are. So you
correct.
You could propose it.
Correct.
You want to wait to do that?
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. Never even thought of it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, mostly because I don't usually look at the numbers, so like I don't know I have to have some knowledge base of
right. The
norms, you know.
But you said they send it to you.
I've been given it once.
Have you ever asked them for it on a monthly basis? I mean,
I could go. I could do that.
You could do it? I mean, do they do a monthly accounting or quarterly, or how do they? They have an
accountant. We have an accountant. We have QuickBooks. So I could learn how to do it on the QuickBooks and just do my own report.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you. I'm just thinking, if I were you, if I thought I was providing more value than I'm receiving, I might ask for some kind of a consideration of an incentive bonus plan.
That's actually a good idea. Biggest obstacle is one particular owner who really knows nothing about running a business. And so...
Now that maybe you didn't want to say.
Yeah,
that's all right. Okay, that's right. One particular owner who knows nothing about running a business. Well, that's fine.
And
a lot
so,
of people who own businesses don't know anything about running them. They just own them.
And that's my obstacle to getting more money.
Okay. All right.
He doesn't know what value is. He doesn't know anything about.
And now
he doesn't, you know what I mean? Like,
how
he doesn't have the knowledge to
are?
Even understand.
Okay. How many owners are there? Three?
Three.
Three. And would you say two of them do?
Correct.
Okay. Two do, one does not. Well, where could you start then? Never mind.
It's where I've gone.
Okay, it's where you've gone. Uh-huh. Okay, all right. Good.
I'm being told there are some things that will be done to.
Well, let me ask you this.
Supplement that.
Do you know where you stand relative to the industry standard for managers of a two?
Funny you ask that.
Bowling center.
I actually have no idea, and I'm not sure if there's some place I can look to figure that out. But I should do that.
Well, is there a bowling center association or something?
There's Bowling Proprietors Association of America. Maybe they'll have something like that. I'm not sure.
I would think they would.
BPAA.
BPAA. Sure.
However, my wife just explained to me this morning. She looked up the average general manager for one business in Lincoln, Nebraska. Now, how she found this, I do not know.
Uh-huh.
And apparently I'm making quite a bit less than that.
Quite a bit less than that.
That's what she says. I don't know. She didn't give me a number. I don't know the specifics beyond that.
Well, I would collaborate with your wife on this.
My wife's very angry about this.
Oh. Interesting.
Very.
Wow.
Seedy.
So she stews. She's simmering.
Oh, yeah.
And has she ever spoken to any of the owners?
I've encouraged her to. I think she's done it in a very soft way. I explained
maybe,
to her this morning what
maybe she doesn't
her
know.
Venting should have gone to the other people involved, not me.
Maybe they don't know how upset she is about it.
For her holdup of doing of explaining that is that one of the people happens to be her father.
I understand that. So, I was thinking that would be the person she could start with.
That's what I said, but that's actually the reason why she isn't.
Wow. What's going on there?
She doesn't want to make him feel bad because she knows that he understands my value. But hands are tied.
Okay,
that gets pretty deep there.
Well, one hand is tied. Well, so of the two that do understand, at least one, you might say, is on board with increasing it.
Oh, both, two.
Well, they're both on board. Well, that's two out of three. How do they do it? Don't they just vote?
I don't know how that goes. I'm not actually in that meeting.
So they have to convince the third one?
The third one is the reason why I got less.
Kidding. Is the third one more powerful in the threesome?
No, so I don't understand it.
Because I thought your father-in-law was the most.
Correct.
Who is the most? I mean, who? No.
I don't know how their dynamic works. They have a weird.
Okay.
Huh. And there's a lot of. Not making the other person feel bad.
Yeah,
you know, there's
yeah.
politics in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
or
it's brain stuff.
Emotional politics,
yeah,
that's what I call it.
It's brain stuff.
Yes.
You know, not making the other person feel bad, that's a relatedness issue. Or they don't want to pull rank, that's a status issue. They don't want to just say, hey, Ralphie, we're going to have to give this guy more money. Well, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, whatever. And then they don't want to do it.
Well, and it's almost that thing where obviously a party who has a different relationship with me often will because they don't want to, it's a status thing, or maybe not even, yeah, maybe status, like you said, they don't want to pull rank or be like, or show favoritism.
Right, show favoritism.
So it gets swung to the other side of, I'm not going to participate, like,
right.
I won't have a say in this particular part of
now,
it.
Now, your relationship with this one owner, because, you know, I mean, you're the son-in-law. The son-in-law is always the butt of many business jokes.
Correct.
So, would this other owner hire you standalone? In other words, could you get the job with that?
Well, here's the other element that's involved in this. The other owners, so I don't know the answer to that question. And in the exact scenario we're in, him being the sole owner, let's say, rather than the other two.
Yeah, would you have the job if you were the sole owner?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Nah, no. It would have gone to his son.
It would have gone to his son? Oh.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Oh.
Yeah, this
would
is
have gone to his son.
This is an intertangled web here. Now, this particular owner will be retiring in 1.5 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
For sure.
Okay.
So
when he retires, though, is he going to sell?
Yeah. The other two owners will purchase, and possibly something will, a small portion might go to me.
As ownership. So you could, you might become an owner in a year and a half.
Or that's an option.
A minority.
But very minority at first.
Minority owner. In a year and a half. Well, you're
but
a young
for,
man.
But for sure, the other two owners will even if I don't get the small part, the other two will split it. So that will happen.
So either way, at that point, you'll probably get some kind of an increase other than cost of living.
Oh, yeah. So I'm being told.
But I'm just wondering if until then, and maybe this other person, because of that other dynamic you mentioned, wouldn't be open to this. But see, a lot of times the deals, as you know, that I do with people are based on performance.
Yeah.
Of my players, not me, my performance.
Yeah.
If you do well working with me, pay me some of that. If you don't, you don't. And that has its upside, it has its downside, but I kind of feel like as a coach, and if I'm not making a difference in your performance, that's the whole point of who I am, is make a difference in your performance.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of that on your side, though, is, you know, that person has to be willing to... I mean, right? Aren't you only able to do so much? You can't control another person.
Well, sure. But as a coach, this is what you must hold two conflicting thoughts at the same time.
Sounds like life.
Those two thoughts are, it's up to my client as to whether they do something. They're in control of their own life. I can't force them. I can't make them.
Yep.
So, on the one hand, you can't get too attached to an outcome. On the other hand, you have to firmly believe that, as the coach, it's all on you. You're creating the environment. You're creating the culture. You're creating everything. As the coach.
Yep. I mean, that could be applied to life in general.
Right. So the leader, you know, has to... So part of it is, you know, you have to, you know... Take everything as if you're responsible, you're accountable. And, you know, and you know, coaches in sports, who was it that just got in trouble? Urban Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
Urban Meyer. Well, I didn't know. Well, then he comes out and goes, well, I should have known. I am the head coach. Well, did he really know? Did he not know? We don't know.
Yeah.
His wife knew, we think. Anyway. Okay. Maybe she didn't tell him. Maybe she wanted to protect him from it.
That's possible.
Maybe they were sleeping with the enemy. Anyway.
Good point. One certainly was, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Or if you believe right. What happened.
Right. Well, I don't think there's any question about what happened. There was shenanigans going on with the assistant coach. The issue isn't that. The issue is the leadership of Urban Meyer.
Which is funny because one of my favorite books is his leadership book. Not it's not really his. He actually learned it from Tim and Brian Knight. Tim Knight, I think is his name.
Who's Tim Knight?
He's the Focus 3 is their company, but they're the ones who have the whole E plus R equals O. No, I mean that's a. But they teach that in the six R factor. You know, like. Have you ever read Urban's book?
No.
Despite the fact that it's Urban Meyer, get over that point. It's actually a really good book on leadership, I think.
Although, kind of calls into question right now. I mean, Joe Paterno could have written a book on leadership too.
Correct. I don't find the principles. I still think.
Yeah.
Are fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you have to follow the principles.
We're all human beings.
Yep.
We're all human beings. All right. Okay, what else are we going to talk about? And you didn't even want to talk about that.
It's actually what's on the forefront of my mind, but yes, I was a little reluctant to talk about that on a podcast.
Well, that was kind of my...
This is going to go out to everybody now.
Billions. what is today? 9/14/18. I don't know why. I just recently thinking about my next conversation with you. That was something, because we haven't talked a while about your bowling.
I haven't done any is the problem.
I know. And number two, I think we missed
last couple. Week.
Yeah. And then number three, we've talked about, and worked around your role as a manager, like your issues as a manager. But for some reason, I was thinking recently, and maybe it's because I have some deals with people, which is performance-based, and I've just been getting like checks that I'm surprised with because they hit something. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You go to the mailbox and, oh, great. I didn't know. I don't know. So I was just thinking not your management, but literally, what are the numbers since you've taken over? Because everything is numbers.
Yeah.
I mean,
it all boils down to that.
It all boils down to numbers. You know, there's numbers over here and there's numbers over there. And then the numbers go into something and then you put
the numbers are up for sure.
Piece of paper with some numbers. It's all just numbers roaming around. Mm-hmm. So the numbers are up, but we don't know how much.
We lost less money this summer than we did the previous summer.
Yeah, but how much?
Quite a bit.
I would like to. I would actually like to know the state of your business.
Now, I'll pull some reports.
Now, you don't have to share these on the podcast.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't.
No, you don't have to do that. I'm not asking.
It's not going to help anyone anyways.
Yeah, I'm just interested as your coach.
Yeah.
Because this is a major part of your life. Plus, you know, if this does materialize in a year and a half, I'm assuming you're going to want to run that business when you're more involved a little differently than just, everything's going okay.
Because I will actually take over, although there's not a lot of them, the duties that the retiree will. But, you know, at the same time, I've been given... So I guess the upside, and this is why this is kind of the way I'm looking at it, is that the two of the owners have basically given me carte blanche to run this show as I see fit.
Right. Well, they came to you and asked you to take this job.
Yeah. But I mean, even now after 1 year, especially now I've got my feet under me, refresh my layout or the groundwork of what's going on and kind of what we're trying to do and what's going on. It's even more now. In fact, one of the owners just told me today, he's like, you don't need to ask me that. He's like, it's your show. Go do what you want. Okay. So they trust me. Now.
And it's been about a year, right?
Yeah, a little over a year. So I'm looking at that as the upside, because even the one owner who doesn't value me as much,
right,
is really not involved in the business a whole lot.
Right.
You know, that, you know, just doesn't quite understand it enough. So I basically am like thinking of, well, okay, so I didn't get as much value money-wise as I was hoping for, but I'm just going to start running the show. Like, you know, I'm going to build it.
I'm the man.
You know? Yeah.
You're the man.
And I don't mean it as in, like, I just mean, like, I feel like what I didn't get in money, I at least felt like I got in empowerment, maybe, or confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I'm looking at it, because, you know, I'm going to go run it like I think, you know, run it for the future. And
well,
those guys are in the future.
That's going to meet your autonomy needs. You know, you could go there and they could, you know, look over your shoulder in every decision and question it. Oh, I wouldn't have done it that way. You know, they could, and then that's no fun. And actually give you more money.
Yeah.
But you'd actually enjoy the work less.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I didn't even think about that.
That autonomy need is... There are a lot of people who leave jobs that are better paying just because they have a boss that they can't stand. It's always, you know, looking over their shoulder.
Yeah. Well, and even being, you know, somewhat upset or bitter about this initially, like, it does not make me enjoy or wish I wasn't here by any means.
Yeah. No, I get that.
In fact, it's almost made me want to do... It's probably the scorpion in me. It makes me want to go, oh, yeah. So, Mr. You don't think I'm that valuable, huh? Well, watch this. Like, it makes me almost want to work that much harder.
Well, maybe there's a method to his madness.
I don't think he's that poor.
Yeah, who knows?
Possibly.
All right. Well, what I'd like to do, if you're willing, is to conclude today's show. And there is something I'd like to talk to you about.
Outside of the show?
Yes.
Okay, got you. All right. Oh, I didn't record. No, I'm just kidding with you.
Oh, Jason.
Except for I can't get my phone. All right. See you, everybody.